Jesus Christ. Son of man, can these bones live? Ezekiel gave the best possible answer, probably. O Lord God, you know. Can these bones live? We see bones as we prepare our meals, if we hunt, if we fish. We can feel our bones underneath our own skin. If we take science classes, we may have skeletons hanging in there. Most of us have seen x-rays of others and probably ourselves at one time or another. But those bones can't do much on their own. A bleached pile of bones lying quietly in a desert valley, can those bones live? Where's their blood supply? Where's their marrow? Where's the connecting tissue and the muscle? Even a living bone by itself really isn't anything. It can't be animated. It just would sit there. The Lord has the prophet look out on this valley. And he tells them to prophesy to them. Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. That's interesting too. We paid attention. We knew that we had some little tiny bones inside of our ears that help us to hear. The hammer, the anvil, and the stirrup. But my femur, my tibia, my ribs, can these bones hear? They can when the Lord's talking. The world-creating word of God is also the life-giving word of God. That which caused the world to spring into being is also that which gives it its breath and its life. And so when these dry bones hear the word of the Lord, they respond. You say, yeah, well, this is just a vision. The Lord's just showing Ezekiel a picture, an example of what he's going to do with living, breathing human beings. Okay. What sort of living, breathing human beings? People who are dead in their sins. People who are consumed by their worries and lacking trust in the Lord who created them, who called them to be his own people. These dry bones are Israel, the nation, the people of God who have rejected him and been carried into captivity in Babylon. Literally, they may be alive as they hear this prophecy from Ezekiel, but figuratively, spiritually, they're about as dead as you come. They're tired. They're worn out. They see no hope. No life. No brighter and more beautiful future. And so as Ezekiel in this vision prophesies over the dry bones, so also in the recording of this vision and its transmission to the people of Israel, he's talking to them. Dried out, pained, alienated from God, strangers in a strange land. The grave that holds them is not a hole in the ground 6 feet deep, 6 feet long, nor is it a tomb hewn in the side of a hill. But it's a grave of location. It's a grave of circumstance. It's a grave of Babylon, a pagan nation, which looks down on their God. After all, their gods beat Israel's God, didn't they? And so the Lord says, speak to the bones, and the bones hear. The bones listen. The bones obey. Even though they are not yet living, the bones cannot but honor the word of the Lord. As I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound. Behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. But that was just the beginning. Because even as he called to the bones, so also, as the Lord does so many times, he does more than you anticipate, more than you expect. His word not only draws the bones together, but then, behold, there are sinews on them. The ligaments are binding them together. And flesh, the muscles and the tendons. And then the skin covering them. But there's one problem. Can these bones live? Now it looks like a valley instead of dry bones, a valley of corpses. And so he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. The breath, the very Spirit of God, comes upon these people. It's Pentecost, if you will, in the valley of the dry bones. The Holy Spirit descending upon these people, bringing them to life, invigorating them, charging them up, giving them stature and spirit, springing up from the ground, a mighty army. And then the Lord explains who this is. The whole house of Israel, they say our bones are cut off, dried up, hope lost. And the Lord says, no. Yet they're right on their own. They are dried up. They are cut off. They are without hope. But with the Lord, all things are possible. And he shows it here. Prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves. Figuratively, this will happen in the restoration when the children of Israel are sent home from Babylon, allowed to return to rebuild Jerusalem and the surrounding area, to put their houses back together, to reestablish Jerusalem, the palace and the temple, to build up the walls, to restore families and neighborhoods, relationships, to return to farming, to herding, to dealing as merchants. But they will also see this in the fullness of time when literally from the grave the dead hear and rise up. First, earlier in the Gospels, we hear about Jesus stopping a funeral procession as a widow's son is led from the village of Nain to be buried. And he calls out to that young man to get up, and he does, and he gives him back to his mother. And now, with Lazarus, one of Jesus' dearest friends, brother of Mary and Martha, a home that he probably knew quite well, a friendship that was deeply established. The sisters, one of whom was too busy in the kitchen to come out at first and complain that her own sister was too busy listening to Jesus, too busy listening to the word. And Jesus had to rebuke her and said, Martha, Mary has chosen the more important thing. Well, Martha must have taken that to heart because she's the one who came out and greeted Jesus. She's the one who gave the wonderful confession of faith. If you'd been here, and yes, I believe in the resurrection, and yes, I know that you're the Christ of God. And Mary echoed that when her sister sent for her. And they went out to the side of the tomb, others thinking that they were going there merely to mourn, but the sisters holding on to a newfound hope that they wouldn't need to wait to the resurrection of all of the dead in order to see their brother, but Jesus might just be preparing to resurrect their brother for them right now. And those dry bones heard. That rotting corpse heard Jesus. The dead one, of whom his own sister said, Lord, you really don't want to open up that grave because he's been dead 4 days and he's starting to stink. That's death. That's the stench that clings to all of us, even from conception and birth, because we are born spiritually dead. And we can't get away from our physical death. And we could try embalming, but even there, we will decay and fall apart. We can speed the process with cremation or with a natural burial. Or we can slow it down with chemicals. But death stinks, both in the imagery and in the actuality. And without Christ, we who were born dead in our trespasses would remain spiritually dead until we met our earthly death and would remain eternally dead, lost and condemned creatures. And so you need to take to heart the Lord's question, can these dead, dry bones live? Can these people gathered together right now, can you as an individual live? Or will you remain lost, buried, dead? Well, of course you are alive. Because the Lord called to you through His Word, through the wonderful washing of baptism, by the coming of His Holy Spirit upon you, creating faith. That same Word that said, let be in the beginning. That same Word that took human flesh and lived among us. That same Word came to you and said, be alive. First, be dead, you old sinful creature. For in Christ truly the old Adam is drowned and died, buried with all sins and evil lusts. And in that same wonderful cleansing baptismal word, the new creature, the new you, rose from the water, alive in Christ, and in faith, confident that you'll be alive forevermore. You didn't make yourself alive any more than Lazarus did, any more than the Valley of Bones did. You, in sin, were just as dead as any of those bleached out bones lying in the middle of that valley. But now you are alive. You are one of the people of Israel, the new Israel, according to faith, the faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the faith of the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And alive in Him, a child of Abraham, a son of the living God, an Israelite in whom there is no guile, the Lord continues to grant you life on this earth until the fulfillment of everlasting life in the resurrection of all. He raised you from the grave. He lifted you from the valley of the shadow of death and set you beside the river of life. Can these bones live? You're a testimony that they can, because the Lord lives in you. The Lord who was laying in the grave rose on the third day that you might rise up in faith in this life and in the flesh in life everlasting. You shall know that I am the Lord. God willing, you know this right now. God willing, you trust that in Christ your faith is secure, that you have been healed, that you have been restored, that you have been raised from the dead. God grant that you not lead yourself back into death, but accept this life, even into life everlasting. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that surpasses understanding keep you in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.